Well, good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. I really appreciated the opening. Seems like that really goes with very well with the topic I have this morning. Although what I'd like to be talking about is not those which intentionally hurt us, but those which intentionally try to help us. What I have to share, I believe, is a tool that God would like to use to help us walk with Him. You know, when we think of hearing from God, that's kind of a lofty concept. You know, you hear from God. Not sure what that means to everyone. But there is a possibility maybe that God wants to speak. And it's through brothers and sisters. So anyway, I have kind of a habit of trying to resurrect outdated values. So that's what I want to do this morning. Could we kneel, those of you that can, for prayer? Father, we just kneel before you here this morning. We thank you for your goodness. We acknowledge you as God Almighty, far above and beyond all that we can know or understand. And we just want to submit ourselves to you this morning and honor you and glorify you and bring you the proper honor that you deserve. Just pray that you would bless the congregation here. Bless me as I share the word here. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so the title that I have is The Soul That Loves Reproof. The Soul That Loves Reproof. In Proverbs 15 and 31, it says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. I think long in Israel, long before the locusts came, long before they were carried off to Babylon, long before the caterpillar ate their land, there was a refusing to hear the words of the prophets. But the ear that heareth reproof, the reproof of life, abideth among the wise. I had to think of Apostle Paul as an example. He claimed he wanted to take a part of the sufferings of Christ. I believe he did. I think Paul knew the power in surrender, in suffering, in humility. And he wanted to take a part of that. He knew the grace that would flow in his life if he took a part in the sufferings of Christ or suffered for Christ's sake. But he also tells us at different times how much he went through. And how difficult that was. It wasn't always easy for Paul. I don't think he enjoyed being stoned and drug out of the city. He didn't necessarily enjoy that, but he knew what it would do in his life if he submitted to it. It was painful what he had to go through in the flesh there and all the resistance that he met. And in some ways, I think that's how it is with hearing reproof. It's not easy for the flesh. When we find out that there's a brother or a sister that has noticed a need in my life, that isn't very comforting. It's not one of those things that we just naturally want to embrace and ask for more. I find my flesh wants to kick against that. It wants to resist that. It does not appreciate it. So while it's impossible in the flesh to see the value of reproof, I believe with our soul, or maybe we could say with the deeper intellect of our mind, we can understand that it may be God's way to deliver us from our own destructive ways. I don't know if you're aware of it, but every one of us has the tendency to go astray, to go our own destructive way. And God has, in his wisdom, made a way that we can be delivered from that, that we can be spared from that. And it's not an easy way. It's not a way that we would have thought up, but God did. God thought it up, and it was a very good idea. In Proverbs 10 and 17, the Bible says, "He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth." So what does that mean? Does that mean that we make some mistakes sometimes if we err because we don't hear reproof? Well, I looked that word up. The word erreth means, number one, this: to wander from the right way, to deviate from the true course. If we err, we wander from the right way and deviate from the true course. Number two is to miss the right way in morals or religion. That's what it means when the Bible says he erreth. It means to wander out of the way of God and to miss it in morals and in truth, in religion. Those are some very strong sounding words, aren't they? To wander out of the right way, to deviate from the true course. It sounds quite serious. Proverbs 4:13 says this: "Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." I think of that. Think of someone tenaciously hanging on to this instruction, maybe begging for more. When we know that food is our life, there's something that we need in food, we go for it. We get a hold of some food and we eat it, for sure when we're hungry. Opening our life to receive as much as we can get, realizing that herein is life. For she is thy life. According to the word of God here, reproof and instruction are extremely valuable. If we would follow our flesh, our own desires, our thoughts, our feelings, it would be something to run from, something to reject, something to resist when reproof and instruction comes. But from God's all-wise perspective, we find that the person who will embrace reproof, he will find life and will not err from the path of life. He won't go astray. So we could look at the word instruction. I've kind of been using reproof and instruction in a similar way here. I think we understand reproof fairly well. Instruction, as used here in Proverbs, means properly chastisement, figuratively reproof, warning or instruction, and also restraint. Or it means to chastise, literally with blows or figuratively with words. Hence, to instruct, to bind, to chastise, correct, to instruct, punish, reprove, or teach. That's what the word instruction means. So it's very similar to the word that we think of when we think of reproof. It's not just like an instruction manual that gives us some ideas how to assemble something, but it's very clear, specific direction, and maybe some that we don't like. So as we read some more verses in Proverbs, I think it's good for us to remember that instruction means something very similar to reproof. And I'd like to look at a scripture in Proverbs 9. We'll just turn there. I think this is a very good description of the carnal or the natural response to reproof. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. Proverbs 9, 7 and 8. He that reproveth his scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not his scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. So we could ask, why would there be shame or a blot for reproving someone or giving them instruction or direction or sharing concerns? I think the response is very typical. Often, there's an immediate excuse-making process that happens. We hear all kinds of excuses. Or maybe there's a pointing at others. Well, why are you talking to me about this? Have you noticed so-and-so? And if you are one of those that has the fortitude to continue pressing the issue, eventually you're going to see some anger and self-justification coming out. That's what the flesh, the natural way of responding, is. And then, after you leave, you're the most condemning and unloving, hateful Pharisee that they've ever met. And everybody that they have any kind of influence with, they'll put a blot on your name. Do you know what he or she said about me? You know, I could have maybe received it had it been in a loving way. I don't know, when you think of disciplining your children, those of you that have children, it should never be done in anger or out of hatred or anything like that. But I don't know of any way to make the seat of the pants burn in a very loving, kind, gentle way. The pain comes, it hurts. It's just the way it's going to be. It's supposed to be that way. And in some sense, when we as adults receive reproof or instruction from those in our own congregation, it hurts, right? It doesn't feel good. It has some very unsettling feelings with them, for sure, because we all think quite highly of ourselves. And when we think well of ourselves and we find out that someone else has found a problem with us or in us, a character flaw or maybe some other thing, It's not very easy to receive that. And so the natural response and tendency is to let others know how dreadful that experience was. And so there is the huge temptation that goes along with this to never instruct or reprove because of the painful side effects that go with it. The emotional trauma, if you will, of going to a brother or a sister in love, and I mean in love, sharing your heart, and then becoming a hate monger for it can be very hard or difficult to deal with. It's just not easy to know, well, I guess I'll never do that again. You know, I thought I went in a kind way. I thought I said, you know, everything I said, I tried to do it in a very kind, gentle, loving way, but it still wasn't received. There was this reaction to it. You know, I've found in my life the temptation when receiving reproof to become despondent or discouraged. We tend to think thoughts like, well, I guess I'm worthless. Our one brother used the example of just because you wipe the bug juice off your windshield doesn't mean that you're planning to junk the whole car. But it feels that way. It feels because there's a spot on the windshield. Well, had to wipe that spot off. The whole car is ready for the junkyard. But that's not true at all. And if we could receive that and think about that in the sense of our brothers and sisters relating to each other, I think it would be much easier if we realized maybe there's a spot on the windshield that needs to be clean so that I can see better, and it's not that the whole car is ready for the junkyard. And so there's that tendency to feel that way, to reject. But I think those thoughts are all evil. They're from our enemy and the flesh. It's not all the devil, but the devil sure helps us out there. Because if we would be able to stop and analyze what just happened, it should be very refreshing to us. It should be exciting as we realize that I have a brother or a sister that loves me enough to come to me and tell me my fault between me and him alone. That's a rich blessing. That's something that we need. That's something all of us need. And I've gone through life far enough to realize that I have a lot of glaring needs and flat spots. And I need those to help me that see those, that notice those. So when that happens, according to the Bible, my brother, sister, whatever, has given me an opportunity to the way of life, to the pathway of life. Can we look at reproof of instruction in that kind of a way? I have just received an opportunity to walk in the pathway of life and light. He loved me enough, and here's where the part comes in about the person that speaks to me. He loved me and cared for me enough to put his reputation on the line to come and show me what I can't see in my own blindness. You know, whenever someone comes and speaks to us about a fault, now I realize there are critics that don't appreciate us, and that's a little bit different story, but when someone out of love and care comes and shares with us, they are putting themselves in a very vulnerable position because they know what could happen. They know how this thing could backfire, if you will. They could get a blot on their name for this. And it happens. So in that case, for me to argue with him, to defend myself, to justify myself, to become upset, discouraged, or whatever, I think it only further establishes my blindness of the matter. my blindness in seeing my own needs and faults. Oh, that God would be merciful and grant us hearts that love reproof, that are willing to receive instruction and hear reproof. We need it. All of us need it. And we will die without such a heart. That's what Proverbs says. We will err. We will wander off of the path of truth in morals and religion. That's very serious. Proverbs 13:18 says this, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction." Poverty and shame. Someone that refuses instruction. And all of us know that in some sense or the other, when we have to learn, we don't come preloaded with all the information that we need to go through life, with all the trades of life and living life. We need to go through first grade, second grade, third grade. We have to go through life learning. And so if you have someone that, maybe a young person that sees walks into a auto mechanic shop or something, and they look around and they think, that's what I want to be. Will it work for them without any further instruction, without any learning in the matter to put up their garage down the road and start servicing cars? They're going to find poverty and shame. There's going to be some embarrassment when they didn't realize the car actually had an oil filter. All they saw was the oil coming out of the bottom and the oil going in the top. And so, you know, there's so much that needs to be learned. We just don't know without learning. And so poverty and shame, we know, in the physical realm comes if we don't learn, if we don't receive instruction, if we don't have someone come along and say, no, that wasn't the right way to do it. This is how you do that. If you want to be successful, you need to do it this way. And we take that and we receive it because it affects our pocketbook, it affects our wallet, it saves us from a lot of embarrassment. I build sawmills. I was at a wood expo one year, and there was this friend of mine that sells these wood processors, and he was getting ready to split some wood. One of these big things brings a log in on a chain, cuts it off, splits it up, and carries it up onto your wagon or trailer, whatever. And there were some logs on his log deck ready to cut, and this old logger came along. And he said, young man, if you don't want to make a fool out of yourself, you need to take that gum log off of that deck, because those will not split. And if you have a whole bunch of people standing around watching, and you cut one of those gum chunks off and it drops down in there, your log splitter isn't going to split it. It's going to squeal. It's going to make him look very bad. And so he took that instruction. It was very... It was very good that he did, but he realized it was to his benefit. You know, he could have stubbornly continued on, but he would have had some shame to face that day as the crowd stood around and watched him try to split a gum log. It wouldn't have worked. But in the spiritual realm, sometimes the cause and effect isn't as visible. We don't realize how it's going to affect us if we refuse to receive instruction, if somehow we don't take what a brother or sister says to us. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The person that is able to hear reproof, they're going to be honored. Why is that? Just because they heard reproof? No, because it changes the person's life. And suddenly the glaring needs that were there are worked with and taken away. And that person has honor because they were able to be guided in life to the right way, to the way of truth in morals and religion. Proverbs 15:10 says, "Correction is grievous to him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die." Strong words. He that hateth reproof shall die. Now that could mean physically. We do know that when there are things that happen, if you defy certain laws in nature, you'll die. But it could also mean spiritually. It could mean that if we refuse to hear instruction, we will die spiritually. And correction is grievous to him that forsaketh the way. The person that has set his heart to go his own way, that has set his heart to do what self wants to do instead of what my brothers and sisters would like to guide and direct me in. When we say, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going this way, you just be quiet. I know what I'm doing. I'm a spiritual person. My heart is right with God. That person that is forsaking the way, correction is grievous to them. You come to that person and you try to give them some words of instruction, it's disgusting to them. They already understand. They know. They don't need your help. Proverbs 6:23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Again, just over and over and over, we see that reproof, that terrible feeling when somebody comes and speaks to me about something in my life that isn't the way it should be. The Bible says that is the way of life. That is the way to God. You might say, well, Jesus is the only way to God. You know, I need to be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, amen. But God, in his wisdom, made a way for us to be pure, for us to hold each other accountable. Our hearts are astoundingly deceptive. We are able to rationalize, reason anything out of the way. Something's in the way of me getting to where I'm wanting to go, we can reason our way around it. Our minds can do that. Our heart is deceitful above all things, the Bible says. And so just saying my heart is right, maybe my heart is deceitful. Maybe in this area, I am actually being deceived. And of course, it's always, in a church this size, there is always the opportunity for checks and balances. If a brother comes, a sister comes, and they say something to me, and I just don't think that's really, that just really sounds extreme. Instead of bashing that person, go to another brother or sister, not your peers that will sympathize and empathize with you, but rather somebody, maybe that's in the ministry, or somebody that you know is walking with God, and ask them, I've been approached about this in my life. What do you think? How do you feel about it? It opens the door. That brother might say, well, if he's honest, you know, I've really had a concern about that, but I was just waiting to see. And it's established. Or maybe that brother will say, you know, I think that's a little extreme. Maybe you could be careful in that area, but so you can receive feedback. There's security in a multitude of counselors. It's not like we're out on this limb and so all of a sudden anybody who wants to bring reproof is going to draw the whole church to their value system or standard of living or whatever. There's checks and balances. Maybe that brother needs or sister needs some encouragement in a certain way. There's a congregation here. You know, I think we can feel safe and secure in receiving instruction if we have an open heart. Proverbs 1:7 says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So we see over and over, fools, those that are erring, those that are going the wrong way, are the ones that are incapable to receive criticism or instruction. And I did say criticism. I think that I've found in my life that those which have maybe struggled with me some are more likely to tell me my faults, because those that have a lot of respect and honor for me, they probably see those things, but they're less apt to tell me. Even though it would be good, they should. They're less likely to do so. But if you have someone that just simply has a bit of a pick with you, they're probably going to tell you what irritates them about you. It's an opportunity to look at it, to go ask some others, "Have you noticed this in me? Have you seen this?" And you can just open your heart. It's okay. We're allowed to do that. Amen. Proverbs 15:31, "The ear that heareth reproof, the reproof of life, abideth among the wise." Who among us here wouldn't want to have our seat, if you will, among the wise? I know we don't sit in different classes or levels here in our congregations, but if we had a spot for those that are fools to sit, and then a spot for those that are a little bit wiser, and then a spot for the very wise, wouldn't we all want to sit with the wise? We want to be acknowledged as those that have wisdom. It's only when we receive reproof and instruction that we can be put in that class. I think all of us have met Mr. Know-It-All, right? All of us have met him. He thinks that he's sitting with the wise, but all of us know that he isn't. If anyone has ever done anything, he's done it better. He's wise in his own conceit. But I'm talking about someone that has gone through life. They've experienced some things. They have opened their ear to hear the reproof of life. That person abides among the wise. Verse 32 says, "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." When we refuse to hear our brothers and sisters, the Bible says we are despising our own soul. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. We despise our own soul when we are unable to open our heart and our ear and say, "Brother, is this what you're trying to say?" And hear that and just take it into our life, as painful as it might be, as disappointing as it might be. We have just received an opportunity to the way of life. Proverbs 12:1 says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." The person that refuses to hear reproof, left to our own wisdom, left to our own ways, we become cruel and animal-like. And I believe that. I've seen that already. Anytime someone gets close with a word of correction, they'll be snapped at or snarled at. Brutish. Despisers of those that are good, the New Testament says. Brutish. Those are very weighty words for us to consider this morning. So I would like to promote here this morning the transparent life. The life that is transparent, that is open. If you've ever experienced going to someone with a transparent life and heart, you know that that is a rich, blessed experience. It's a wonderful experience. I just had a young man last Sunday. I was talking with a young man. And there was a need for maybe some direction, some instruction. And it was such a blessing. He said, if there's anything in my life, I want to be completely open. If there's something in my life that you see that is troubling, you speak to me about it. I want to hear. And just opened his life up. What a blessing. I've been in many meetings already where that wasn't that way, where there was these stiff, hard responses, trying to weasel out this way, squirming around, trying to justify. What a blessing when there's a transparent life, an open, honest heart, willing to be wrong. Can we do that? Can we be wrong? All of us, we may as well face it, if we haven't come to that realization yet, all of us are wrong sometimes. All of us need some instruction and reproof at times. All of us do. It's so nice to talk with someone that doesn't have these carefully guarded answers. You ask them a question and they think a while and they just very, very carefully answer because you know, there's this guard that's up. They're just very, very, there's just this reluctance that's there. It's nice when you can talk with someone, the heart's open, free. What is it that you're seeing? There's no unwelcoming gestures that kind of indicate that they wish you would just leave and let them alone. Just pure, free openness. There's a blessing with that simply can't be described with words. When you have that open, free, clear expression. And one thing that can help us tremendously in having that transparent life is to realize and to be open to the fact that our heart is deceitful. As much as we wish we would always be right, as much as we hope that everything in our life is in order and that we don't have anything that is irritating to people and bothers them or less than ideal, the fact is we have them. Those problems are in our life, and sometimes we need a brother or sister to come along, give us some reproof, some instruction, some encouragement. It's good for us to realize that we need our brothers and sisters because we are very blind to our own faults. We simply can't see them. It's very unusual for us to come to the to by ourselves realize that we have a very blind spot because we're blind to that blind spot. And so we just don't see it. And our brothers and sisters can help us. They can bring us along in that. So the best way to overcome the problems in our life is to be approachable. If we want to remove the blind spots, be approachable. Open your heart. Receive instruction. We need that. Proverbs 25:12 puts it this way: as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon the obedient ear. You know, if for some reason you would like to have some fine jewelry, right here is some you're allowed to have. An obedient ear is just a beautiful thing. So is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Proverbs 15:30, the ear that heareth reproof, the reproof of life, abideth among the wise. There's a place that you can abide among the wise when you hear reproof. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Who of us, as we get older, don't want to be wise? In the latter end, we can be wise when we receive counsel and instruction. When we hear that, we can continue to grow. As soon as we turn that off, our growth stops right there. There's no more growing. There's no more going forward. The business might expand. The pocketbook might continue to expand. There's a lot of things that might look like they're going forward, but in the spiritual life, when we shut the door to reproof and instruction in our life, our spiritual growth stops, according to the Bible. Our growth in spiritual life is progressive. And if we have an open ear to hear reproof, the older we get, the wiser we will be. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiastes is kind of a depressing book. I think the fellow that wrote it was rather depressed when he wrote it. And here he is, lamenting. Solomon. Ecclesiastes 4:13. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. A little child, this is a king that lived in the highest point of Israel's history. And he helped take it down because of his disobedience to God. He's saying a child that will hear reproof is better than a king in this glorious kingdom. And if you'll remember, this was not just a so-so kingdom. The Queen of Sheba came, and she was awestruck when she saw how magnificent Solomon's ruling was, how blessed Israel was under Solomon's reign. But in his old age, he realized that a young child that will hear reproof is better off than an old king that won't hear instruction, that will no more be admonished. Solomon recognized that a big failure in his life was the unwillingness to hear reproof. There were still prophets in those days. I'm sure there were still those that came and talked to him about his wives, what all he did, the altars the high places that he built, the sacrifices that he did. I don't think God just let him alone, but he wouldn't hear reproof. And we can expect the same thing. In our old age, we will not have a whole lot of wisdom if we close the door to reproof. Can the church grow and be purified if we have a carefully guarded fence around our life with this no trespassing sign out front? You know, some people have that. Their life is very manicured in some senses, and it has a no trespassing sign out front. Nice little fence around it. Nobody enters there. Can you grow in your life? Can I grow in my life? Can the church grow and prosper if there's that no trespassing sign out front? I believe that this is God's mechanism for safety and purity in our lives, first of all, and also in the life of the church. That's the way God designed it. Now, he has also put authority structure in place, and that's good and right. It needs to be there, and that's maybe how the reproof is going to come. But I think the body should be ministering to itself also. Safety and purity, when there's this openness to hear, to receive admonition. Now, the spirit of our age cries for acceptance, for toleration. Preach something that feels good. Come as you are. Do as you please. Love me in spite of who I am and what I do. That's the cry of our age. That's what we hear in society around us. And it does affect us. It affects how we think and how we feel about admonition and reproof in our life. It seems like Paul knew this was coming, and he gave us some instruction on that in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 1, I think maybe I was wanting I'm in 1 Timothy, that's the difference. There we go. Helps to be in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now here Paul is talking about the end of time when the judge is going to appear. There's going to be a judgment. And so he says, preach. We might say, well, this reprove, rebuke. You know, it sounded like an Old Testament thing. We were reading a lot in Proverbs, and maybe that was just an Old Testament idea. But here, Paul almost puts the level higher, if you will. Instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You say, Paul, all the time, continuously, reprove? That's not a nice word, is it? Rebuke? That's for sure not. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the day is going to come when there's a refusal to hear. When people are going to go their own way after their own lusts. Now we could think Paul is being very radical here, but Paul is giving New Testament churches, Timothy here, but it's for us, instruction on how to go forward, how to walk in the way of life. And I know this particular passage is given to elders, I believe, to Timothy, leading out in the church there. But in our time, there's a great rising up, even against elders, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. It's unpopular. It's not loving. It's not kind when somebody brings reproof, brings a rebuke. I mean, that's a hard word. That's a negative word. That's meaning you shouldn't. That's not okay. We're not okay with that. That needs to change. That's what that word means. That's so unloving, so against the peace symbol that people drag around now, so against our idea of just accepting and loving where everyone's at. You know, you just love them and accept them however they are. I don't see that in the Bible. You love them, and the way that you love them is you help them to higher ground. You help them to the pathway of life. You help them along their way, and all of us need that. I hope I've convinced you of that. Maybe you were convinced of that before, but all of us need that. Whether we are a pastor, a deacon, an elder, whatever we are, we all need it. There are times in our life when we need some reproof, some instruction. And now there's the Bible, the New Testament gives us very clear instructions on how to address an elder as well. That could mean someone in the ministry. It could mean an older brother. I don't think it would be wise for a teenager to go up to the oldest brother in the congregation and say, you know, I've noticed this glaring need in your life. That would not be wise. That would be quite foolish. But there's an appropriate way to address things that all can grow together and become perfect in the stature of Christ. Okay, let's look at a scripture in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3:13. Well, maybe we'll read verse 12 as well. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily. How often's that? Daily. Exhort one another daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There's a very real possibility of us being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, we live in a society where sin, the moral standard is being dragged further and further and further down. And we get used to it. The billboards that would have been taken down in less than a week's time are now there to stay. Everywhere you look, society is dragging the moral standards down. And the church should not change. They should not follow that. And here's a New Testament way for that not to happen. Exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest somehow we be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We get used to sin. In 80 years ago, divorce and remarriage, for example, was hardly known about. And if it was, it was kind of one of those things that nobody really talked about. But now, all of us have friends, family, people that we know that are divorced and remarried, and very seldom is there this clear cry that goes out against it. And there's more and more the tendency to just, well, it's not as it should be, but maybe God, when we come up with these excuses, we tend to get accustomed to sin, and our heart gets a little bit harder, just used to it. It's so prevalent. It's all around us. We're just kind of used to it. But that shouldn't be that way in the church of God. So again, I'd just like to mention that those which have a little bit of a problem with us are most likely the ones that are the quickest to say something. And I think we need to embrace that. We need to realize that and take what is said as something that can help us on the way of life. Because the fact is, even our critics are noticing something that is less than ideal in our life. They're noticing something that probably shouldn't be in our life. And because they're already maybe irked about something else, it compounds, makes the problem look bigger, it magnifies the problem in their eyes. But why not just receive that and see if we can't work on that area in our life and remove that blot? If we love reproof and we receive what has been said with an open heart, we just thank them for bringing that reproof, most of the time, that fear or concern that they had melts away. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but if you just have this open heart and receive, okay, I take that, brother, I wasn't aware that I was doing that. I didn't realize that. Or I can change that in my life. I can get rid of that if that's a stumbling block to you. When that is the response they hear, their concern just melts away. It's gone. It's not there anymore. Even if you don't manage to do so well in conquering the bad habit or whatever it happens to be, their concern diminishes. But if you are guarded, argumentative, if we try to come up with excuses, the concern goes up higher. And it goes up a little bit higher every time it's noticed. And so there's just this easy way to take care of the problem. Just hear it. Receive it. Open our heart to it. What a blessing. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Again, we see the same idea, exhort one another as we see that day approaching. It says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. We need that. We need that exhorting one another. I had a truck several years ago. I had worked on it or someone else had. I had it in a shop. And after I got it back, I was driving it, and the brakes locked up on the thing. Just driving down the road, and it just kept going harder and harder. I felt that the engine was under load. I was trying to figure out what is going on here. I pulled over and got out, and I realized, well, the brake's hot. And it had a little rubber hose going from the brake line over to the wheel so that it had some flexibility there. And I happened to have a vice grip along. So I took that vice grip, and I clamped it onto the brake line and opened the little bleeder valve and released the brake, and I was able to go on. Worked quite well. And so there's, the brake wasn't working the way it should have. It was applying brakes when it wasn't supposed to. And I had a good solution for it. Just clamp that valve, clamp that pipe off, crimp it, and no more brakes. What a blessing. We could go all we wanted to go. No restrictions. The problem is there are intersections and stop signs and stop lights, and there's other people on the road as well. And I didn't have any accident. I still have three brakes that were working, so the truck did stop when I wanted it to. But I was just thinking, what if the brake on the other side had become an irritation to me, and I would have just clamped that one off, and then the rear brake would have just been kind of a pain. So I just block off all the influence that restricts me in driving this truck. It would have been a tragic accident somewhere down the road. Somewhere sooner or later, there would have been some very serious problems. And I think in our life, we have the ability to take that vice grip and clamp it on that brake line and just refuse to receive that restriction, that putting some brakes on in our life, slow some things down here. Take a look at where things are at. We can do that. We can just get the vice grip out, clamp it on there, and happily go on down the road. No more restriction. We can drive the speed limit or over. We can just keep on going. And some people do that in their life. They refuse to have someone come along and say, "Have you ever had some restriction applied in your life in this area? You really need to back down here. This area in your life is not looking good for you. You need some brakes applied." Because if there's no brakes applied, I'm looking down the road. I've been down the road. I know that a couple miles up the road, there's an intersection. There's a lot of cross traffic, and there's going to be an accident. There's going to be some casualties. And there's people in this room that are able to look down the road. They have looked down the road. They've been down the road. And they've seen casualties. And sometimes they're able to see where that spirit, that attitude, what's happening in your life, they know where that's going. They've been ahead of you. Be very good to just allow somebody to come along and apply some brakes. And again, if the brakes are misapplied, there are some other mechanics in the church that can give you some advice on how to fix that problem. It seems somehow there's always this "but what if" in our minds when we hear a message like this. Maybe you've never heard a message like this. But if there's the idea of restrictions in our life, there's this "but what if." But what if, you know, if what if we hear everything that that brother says? He's such so radical. You know, what are we going to be like in 10 years if we allow him to apply the brakes? And so just remember, that's a way of our heart to reason our way around and just keep right on going. What we need to do is stop and ask some others, what do you think about this? Where do you think these things are really at? Openness and willingness to hear reproof and instruction, I believe, is like the oil that lubricates the gears of the church or the brotherhood. When that is working, everything just runs so smoothly. Everything goes on as it should. When you dump the right kind of oil or grease into that gearbox, everything just quiets down. It runs smoothly. The power that you need is there. But you take and dump some sand in there, some grit, some things that don't belong in that gearbox, remove the oil, whatever, it's going to start chattering and grinding and clattering, and the thing's going to self-destruct. And that's what happens with churches and individuals that refuse to hear reproof. We are brutish. We are on the road to destruction. Proverbs tells us we're in the way of death. What strong words. I think it behooves us to hear instruction and reproof. Let's take the word of God and hear reproof, hear instruction, embrace it. It's the way to life. That's what the Bible says. It's the way to be wise. It's the way to sit among the wise, is to hear reproof and instruction, to become wise, to walk in the way of life. We can do that when we open our heart, when we open our life. We say, well, I don't have anything hidden. There's nothing that I need to hide. There's not a nice white picket fence around my life. No trespassing sign. It's open. Come on in. If there's something in here that is troubling to you, I want to know about it. I'll hear that. If I'm not sure that your direction is the way it should be, if I'm a little concerned about it, I'll go to Brother David and I'll ask him what he thinks about it. But I'm open. I'm willing. I hear. It's the way to life. It's the way to prosper in your Christian life. God bless you.